Now I see grace. Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Y'all doing well? One person with me right there. Good, good, good. It's good to see you again this week, and look forward to our time of worship this morning, and say a little bit more about that in just a moment. But one of the ways we get started, if you've been here before, we do this every week, and that is to give you a chance to say hello to somebody in front of you, beside you, maybe a relative, maybe a friend, maybe someone you haven't met. So stand up with me right now and say hello to someone this morning. I want to bring your attention to a couple of things. I hope you received a bulletin on the way in. If you did, open it up real quickly. There are several things in there, but I want you to look at two things. One thing we draw your attention to every week is our Connect card. If you would take a moment to fill it out, you can start filling it out now. Later in the service, on the back side, you may want to put some notes, prayer requests, or check one of the boxes if you are making a decision or want us to be aware of that. The pastors get this every week, and we pray for you. And we're the only ones who see this. Also, look in your bulletin. Do you have something like this? Have that in there? Isn't that a nice, colorful piece of work? I like this. Now, what this is, it's a warning. After Easter, the second Sunday after Easter, I'm starting a new series called You Drive Me Crazy. Can anyone relate to that? How many people have here, how many of you here can name at least one person who drive you crazy? Anyone? Anybody here drive anybody else crazy? Okay. You need this. You need this. It's an 8-message on the backside. You can see it's an 8-message series. We're going to get into that. Now, this is in here not just for you to be aware of, but you can take this and hand it to somebody, maybe the person you drive crazy, or just a friend. So it's going to be something we're looking forward to. Just want to draw your attention to that. All right? We have a special worship time today. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And do so, we give people opportunity to do that every week. We have Lord's Supper stations around the sanctuary. But today we're going to do it church-wide. We did it not long ago church-wide. Pastor John let out in that, and I appreciate him doing that. And we're going to do the same thing today. So the message will be a little less time-filled. So we have time to pass out the elements and have a special time together, okay? So to that end, I want to read some verses that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Look what he says. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for giving us another opportunity to worship you here collectively together at Grace Point Church. And Father, we draw ourselves to you now and ask you to draw close to us, particularly later in the service, Lord, as we celebrate, participate in the Lord's Supper. Teach us about the significant meaning of that, and then bless us as we partake in that. Now, Father, we give you worship through our singing, our songs, our music. We've worshiped you already through fellowship and the reading of Scripture. And we pray that you would receive this as our worship to you. And we offer it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, looking back, it's just a stepping stone. Remember when we said, when we turn gray, when the children grow up and move away, we won't be sad, we'll be glad for all the life we've had. And we'll remember when. Today we're going to participate, and in church-wide, participate in the Lord's Supper and communion. And it's all about remembering when Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves, that he died on a cross so our sins could be forgiven. Remember when. Matter of fact, memory is one of God's greatest gifts. God has even told us to remember things. The word remember is used over 1,200 times in Scripture. Today we're going to do some remembering because Scripture says we should do this. We're going to remember, realistically remember, the suffering and the death of Jesus. How did it actually happen? We're going to do it as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to read some other verses out of Luke 22, similar to the ones I read where Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. This is the account in the Gospel of Luke. It says, "And he, Jesus, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Now, what Jesus was doing here, celebrating with his disciples, was called the Passover. It was the time in the Old Testament where God wiped out the Egyptians who were causing so much distress on the Jews, and yet the death angel passed over the Jewish people. And so it was called Passover. Jesus is celebrating Passover here with his disciples. It's what the Jews did. Every year they did this. Except now, in light of what Jesus knew was going to happen to him, in light of what Jesus knew that he was called to be the Savior to forgive us, now Jesus flips the script. Now he gives it new meaning. And that's what we're going to look at today. I want to share with you just two things very quickly. First of all, I want us to look at the trials that Jesus went through, literally court trials. The trials of Jesus show his purpose in dying. Now, there were six trials that Jesus went through, and he did it to save sinners. The purpose of Jesus was to save sinners so we could have eternal life. He went through literally six different trials. First of all, there were three religious trials. First, he went to a gentleman by the name of Annas. Then he went on trial before Caiaphas, the high priest. Then he went on trial before the Sanhedrin. There were 71 Jewish members. They were the Supreme Court of the Jews. Jesus literally was on trial. It's interesting that the Sanhedrin concluded that Jesus was not guilty of any other thing that was worthy of death. But they said he was guilty of blasphemy, that is, claiming to be the Son of God. But while they found him wrongly guilty of that, they couldn't do anything about it because they couldn't inflict punishment, what they wanted for Jesus, death. They couldn't do it. So they took Jesus and they sent him to three civil trials. First religious trials, now they're civil trials. He went before Pilate, you've heard his name. He then was the governor of Jerusalem. Then he went before Herod, who was the governor of Galilee, and then they sent him back to Pilate. Six trials. It took all night long, and they didn't find Jesus guilty of anything. So they came up with the charge that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 26, look what it says. The chief priests were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. They had nothing concrete, so they're making stuff up. But they did not find anything. Then they ask him, "Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Yes, it is as you say." Then they spit in his face. They struck him with their fists. Others slapped him. Jesus answered the question, their curiosity, by acknowledging, "You know what? I am God's son. I am the Christ, the Son of God." Now, some people don't want to acknowledge that Jesus is who he said he is. Some people, for example, want to tell us that Jesus was a good man. He's just a good man. Some people tell us that Jesus was a moral leader. Some people tell us that Jesus was a great teacher. But listen to me, a good person would never claim to be God. If they did, we'd think he's nuts. Nor would a moral leader say that they were God. Nor would a great teacher ever try to claim that they were God. Look how Jesus framed it in John 12:47. Jesus said, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save it." That is Jesus' purpose. It's to save the world. That's why Jesus allowed these trials to go on. That's why Jesus went through these six different trials. He left no doubt. He did claim to be God's son. And to that end, he came to save the people of the world, which, thank God, includes us. The trials that Jesus went through reveal his purpose in this world, to save sinners. Number two, the death of Jesus shows his passion. The trials show his purpose to save us. The death of Jesus shows his passion. And by passion, I mean his greatest heart's desire. It's his passion. It was his passion to carry out God's plan in God's way, in God's timing. More than anything else Jesus wanted to do, it was to fulfill God's will for his life. And God's plan was that Jesus would die. And in his death on the cross, Jesus would take the punishment of our sins upon himself. We deserve to be punished for our sins, but we don't have to be. When Jesus died on the cross, the death itself was the punishment that Jesus bore so we could be forgiven. He wasn't punished for what he did wrong. He did nothing wrong. He was punished for what we did wrong. Look at what Paul said in Romans 5:8. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were, look, still sinners. You don't have to clean up your life before you come to God. You come to him, the old song says, just as I am. Paul said in Romans 5:8 again, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He was punished for our sins so we wouldn't have to be. Now, his punishment was the crucifixion. It was probably the most brutal and tortured form of the death penalty ever invented by man. But even before Jesus went to the cross, he experienced incredible pain and abuse. Because after the six trials and staying up all night, lacking sleep, the Bible says Jesus was given over to the Roman soldiers because they're the only ones who could carry this out. The Jewish people couldn't. And the Roman soldiers began to make fun of him. So they put a robe on him and they crowned him with a crown of thorns, and the thorns stuck deep into his flesh. Most of us equate thorns with rose bushes, not these thorns. These thorns were 2 to 3 inches long. The ends of them, where they were pointy, was like a hypodermic needle. And when they put that crown on his head, they pushed it down. It pierced his skin, and he began bleeding in pain. Then the soldiers put a blindfold on him. They began to beat him. They began to slap him. They began to hit him in his face with a fist. And when they were doing this, they would make fun of him. Okay, you say you're God. Who hit you now? Who punched you that time? Who slapped you that time? Now, Jesus could have given their names. They could have given their family members' names. They could have given the grandparents' names. Jesus could have traced their lineage all the way back to Adam and Eve. But he remained silent. Why? Because he was taking the suffering and the punishment of the world upon himself. He was mocked. He was scorned. Then he was scourged. Scourging was far worse than whipping. They would use a post about 2 feet high, and they had a place where they could chain the person down to it, and they had him chained right here. He couldn't move, and they did this so his back would be taut and that skin would be pulled tight. He was shackled to that post. And then the lictors, their strong men, would deliver the lashings. The whips they had 9 long strands of leather, and on each of these strands of leather were tied 2 things: lead balls that would bruise the skin, and then sharp bone that would tear into the skin. By law, they could only give 40 strikes, but because they never wanted to break the law where they would get in trouble, they only did it 39 times, just to make sure. 39 strikes, 9 strands of leather, 351 scars on the back of Jesus. Then they gave Jesus a heavy cross to carry up the hill to Calvary. As he carried his cross, because of his exhaustion, lack of food and water, the loss of blood, he stumbled and fell. He couldn't do it. In the crowd, named Simon of Cyrene, a black gentleman, to carry the cross for him the rest of the way. And once they arrived at the location, they would stretch out Jesus on the cross. They would literally stretch him out, and they nailed through the wrist right here. And when they did that, it would hit that nerve and send excruciating pain surging through Jesus' body. It's interesting to note that the death on the cross was a death of suffocation. Because after hanging for a while, you could breathe in, but you could not breathe out. And the Romans didn't want this death to be simple or easy for the person being crucified, so they would bend so that when they couldn't breathe anymore, they could push up and get that air out and take another breath in. And he would do that over and over and over. But the Roman soldiers didn't want to be there all day, so they would break the legs just a little bit and bend them down. So when they raised up, it hurt so much they couldn't do it, back and forth all the time. Eventually, that person would die. This is the kind of punishment that Jesus went through on the cross. Why did Jesus have to die? It was his way of telling us, of telling you, of telling me, that he loved us enough, he was willing to go through that so we could be forgiven and have purpose and meaning in life. Jesus was punished for our sins so we wouldn't have to be punished. Some of you may remember the name Timothy McCarthy. Timothy McCarthy was the one person who jumped in front of Hinckley and took a bullet for President Ronald Reagan and saved his life. At Calvary, the President of the universe took a bullet for you and for me. Jesus paid the price that we owed because of our sin. He lovingly, willingly laid his life down for us. Paul says this in Ephesians 1:7. By the death of Christ, we are set free, that our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which he gave to us in such a large measure. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, he forgives us of our sin, of all of our sins at that point in time and forever. So today, when we eat the bread and drink the juice, this is what we're remembering, and we are celebrating. Thank God he was willing to do this for us. So let me talk real quickly about the two symbols that we remember in Jesus. First of all, there's going to be six. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to his disciples. He said, take and eat, this is my body. Now, the bread wasn't literally the body of Jesus. It was symbolic. This bread is a symbol of my body that I give for you. Jesus also took the juice. In his day, they took wine, and it symbolized the blood of Jesus. Again, Matthew 26, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. So when we eat the bread this morning, we're going to take a moment and by ourselves in our minds and our hearts, we're just going to thank Jesus for giving himself physically to die on the cross. And we're just going to say, Lord, this bread, this is what it represents. And Jesus, I want to thank you. And we eat it. And likewise with the juice, now symbolizing the blood that he shed long before Calvary. We're going to say, Jesus, thank you. You didn't have to do this, but you did. And when we drink that juice, we're going to remember and celebrate what God did for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we encourage all of you, if you are a believer, if you're a Christian, you're welcome to celebrate this with us, whether you're a member of our church or not. You may be a guest, doesn't matter to us. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, then when the elements are passed out, I encourage you to take them. You'll take one bread, and then you'll take a little bit later, you'll take some juice, and each of those symbolizes the body and the blood of Christ. Hang on to them. We'll eat all together. We're going to pass it out, have them come back down, and then we'll eat all together. Good enough? Now, I want to give you just a couple of minutes to anything you need to do by way of shoring up your commitment to Christ. Maybe you're here, and this will be your first time you ever want to make a commitment to Jesus. You've never been saved before. You've never done that. Maybe you're saved, but you've kind of backed away a little bit. You just want to renew it. You can do that right where you are. You can come down and talk to us. There'll be a couple of us here. You can go to the cross over here if you want and make a note, write something that you're grateful for, and just literally pin it to the cross. If you do fill out part of the card here this morning, on your way out, you'll find boxes on the exit doors. Just put that there. You can put your offerings there, whatever you want. Put that down in there, and we'll be able to pray for you. Okay? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that you loved us enough to send your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And Jesus, thank you that you obeyed your Father and you gave your life for us. You literally died in pain and agony. You were being punished when you didn't deserve it. And you gave us forgiveness through what you did on the cross. And we're grateful. Bless our time of response. And then bless our time, Lord, where we eat the bread and drink the juice in remembrance of you and what you've done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome you to participate in our Lord's Supper today. If you're a believer, even if you're a believer, you just don't want to today, that's fine. It's totally up to you. Some folks in just a minute will be passing the trays down. Just take a piece if you want, the bread or the juice, when we do that. If you don't, just pass it along and hang on eating it. We'll do that all together. Fair enough? When Jesus served this with his disciples and gave the bread new meaning, it tells us he gave thanks and then he ate. God, thank you that you gave us your Son. And Jesus, thank you that you loved your Father enough to do everything he wanted you to do. Thank you for giving yourself, your body, Jesus, to all the torture you went through so we could have eternal life. We remember you as we eat this bread with gratitude. In your name we pray. After they ate bread, Jesus gave new meaning to the wine that they took and said, "This now symbolizes my blood that I shed for you." And when we do this in remembrance of him.
Great time of remembrance. Jesus told us do this in remembrance, and we're able to do that. Well, of course, this is the kickoff to an amazing week. As you think of those days that Jesus went through, we have an opportunity to invite folks this week to church. You've got the cards. I put some more out on the tables in the back. There's some in the hall. This week is the week that people are going to be looking for a place to go to church on Easter. Jason, we have so many people here this morning, we ran out of bulletins. However, next week, we're printing 200, all right? So be ready. Come on out and invite folks to be here for that great time. As Kevin said, I was going to do a big drum roll. Can we still do a drum roll here, Stevie? Boom, there it is, the new series coming up. So Kevin, he couldn't hold it back. He had to talk about it earlier. So there it is. That's not the week after he's, but a couple weeks later, a brand new series. So these are for you to hand out to people. I've got some extras here. You can get some more. You'll have some next week as well. Okay? I think also, if you would like to participate in some sort of ministry this week, thinking of what Jesus did on Tuesday, our church is in charge of James Island Outreach. And if you'd like to participate, what a great way to celebrate this week of Easter. Sandy, raise your hand right there. Lord, if you need information on that, see her and they'll help you out. All right? I don't know. I think, Kevin, you coming up to say something? I think he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Kevin Bennett.
The Pastor Kevin Bennett.
The Pastor.
I don't know if you know how much preparation went into the service today, and particularly on my end. But apparently Jay and I are fired. We put the cloth back on upside down, so y'all couldn't read it. So, Jay, I'm sorry, buddy. I don't know what to do.
Kevin, that drives me crazy.
Sorry. So I want to know one more thing. Stevie, what do I need to get a drum roll, buddy?
Well, don't forget, next week's going to be fantastic. The children also having an egg hunt, Easter egg hunts, a lot of great things. And I don't know if we can top that song right there, Jay. The energy in here was fantastic. So be here next week. Invite people. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're excited. We know that this was a week that changed the world and changed history. It's no longer AD, it's not no longer BC, it's AD. Because you died on the cross and rose again for us. We thank you for that. Help us to remember this moment, this time of communion, all through this week, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and pray it now. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.